previously on Getting the Mecha.
We can apply this to Rey, and Rey from episode 14 is shown to almost have essence and is given essence, but what is her true existence? All these are constructs, and these are constructs under essence. And in the case of existentialism, I wouldn't be able to say how is this not in here, because it's bright and clear. This is one of the core existentialist ideas. It just played out between Shinji.
This is Getting the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it.
Welcome back to Getting the Mecha. I'm your host Jamal today, and you are listening to episode 50 of Getting the Mecha. In today's episode, I want to speak about the conclusion to Neon Genesis Evangelion. This is the almost inspiring anime for this podcast. I named this podcast after, or made a reference to, Neon Genesis Evangelion. It is my favorite anime as of now, and I believe will be for a long time, and so I think it's very right to dedicate this episode to our final arc analysis of Neon Genesis Evangelion, which is episodes 20 to 26. So in today's episode, what I do want to discuss is, what does this arc mean? I'm going to try and look into that. I'm going to try and look into the conclusion and what that means for Evangelion. I'm also going to try and give a almost different perspective to the ending, because I know that there is often this main look at the ending and this almost accepted analysis. And I don't deny that, and I don't think it's wrong or I disagree with it, but I want to just add something else to the mix and try and understand it in a different way as of usual. I also want to talk quite a bit about absurdism as well and how that fits in. I do recommend listening to my earlier absurdism and meaning episode if you want a bit more context, as well as the rest of the arc analyses in relation to Neon Genesis Evangelion. Again, if you want a bit more context into existentialist philosophy and how that fits into Eva. If you do enjoy the show, feel free to review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you do get your podcasts. That'll be greatly appreciated. Helps others find the show as well. And finally, here is the episode for this week, that is, and I cannot thank you guys enough, this is episode 50 of Getting the Mecha. Episode 50, I'm pretty excited for this. A look at the bitter end of Neon Genesis Evangelion. So I don't want to waste too much time, let's just get to the alerts right away. That is a spoiler alert for basically all of Neon Genesis Evangelion, as we are at the end here. But also I would say spoilers for episodes 20 to 26, as that is where I'm making most of my reference to. But obviously these events are preceded by the events of the rest of the original series. I'm not going to be really making any reference to end of Evangelion in this episode, nor will I Death, Rebirth, True, or whatever it's called these days, and nothing to do with the rebuilds, 3.0 plus 1.0, any of it, none of that will be mentioned. Simply, spoilers for the original Evangelion series. And as I said, let's not waste too much time. Here is a plot summary for the concluding arc of Neon Genesis Evangelion, The Bitter End. The arc opens, or the bitter end opens, with a direct pickup from the conclusion of episode 19. After reaching 400% synchronization with the EVA Unit 01, Shinji's EVA Unit goes berserk in a battle against the angel Zuriel. As a result, Shinji becomes absorbed within to the EVA and makes contact with its resident soul, his mother, Yui Ikari. The arc also gives us some insight into the very dark past of Nerve, as well as the almost shady origins of Rei Ayanami. We're also given some more information in regards to the second impact and its true origin, being a contact experiment which involved the angel Adam. It is later discovered that this was backed by the mysterious organization Sele. Across the episodes, the angels become considerably stronger, with a different means of attacking the pilots. In the case of Asuka, this is the psychological attack which is staged by the angel Ariel, And in the case of Rei, this involved experiencing an excruciating amount of pain when defending Shinji during their battle with the Armorset. As a result, this means that the team over at Nerve and the pilots have to use even more risky methods to deal with these tougher angels, such as using the Lance of Longinus, which was used to restrict the power of Adam. A very key part of this arc involves Kaoru. His emergence, life and death are very significant to Shinji as a character, as well as Evangelion as a whole, as he is then revealed to be the final angel. And unfortunately, this is one of the very few people who Shinji thought he got close to. By the end, we enter Instrumentality, where Shinji and the rest of our pilots, as well as Misato, are forced to question their existence and relation with others. And so this is the bitter end of Neon Genesis Evangelion. And so that, in summary, is the conclusion to Neon Genesis Evangelion. I know I did miss a few things, like Haji's death and the past of Nerve and all of the details in relation to that, and yes, I know the fact that I am mentioning it maybe might mean that I could have mentioned it in the plot summary, but I think that it would have just been a lot. So firstly, I should just say RIP to Kaji. It's a shame. I really did like Kaji as a character, but there are loads and many things to discuss in this arc, and this all takes place in 7 episodes. It really does break down very quickly, and so I think the main emphasis for this analysis will be, what does this all mean? How does this breakdown take place in terms of presentation, and how successful is it, and what does it all mean? That's really the emphasis, really. I did waste time saying that, but the focus and core of everything should be, what does this breakdown mean? And also, how did it make me feel, obviously, because that is also what I love to discuss on the podcast. To sort of answer the question as to what does this breakdown mean, or how does it feel to me, I think I personally, and I've kind of been thinking about this more recently, I like to think of it as a test. Everything from, although we do have the descent arc, which kind of precludes all of this, but I would say that the breakdown in everything is really at its peak by episode 20 and episode 19. And from there, it kind of just falls down and down and down and tumbles into this abyss, which is Instrumentality. But I like to think of this stage of the show as this almost experiment or test, or even if you want to call it a stage. The test is this surface world, or just world in general, which is rigged against humanity. If anything, one of the main focuses philosophically of Neon Genesis Evangelion is absurdism. Absurdism in its basic sense is the contradiction between the meaningless world and the innate search for meaning which humans proactively do, if that makes sense. And so these episodes do prove the meaninglessness of the world, the fact that there isn't this just script which the world runs by and what narrative runs by. I think a weird thing is about this part of the show is that Arno is able to show us that this world simply doesn't care for us, and he isn't going to make it any easier for our characters. He's going to push them to their absolute limits, proven by the stuff like the psychological attack on Asuka and Rei's moment and Shinji's moment. They all have these episodes which prove to us that this world is something which isn't caring at all. It is meaningless. The world is rigged with unfairness and corruption and contradiction, and the fact that I found this really interesting as well, the fact that Eva, it kind of, I don't want to say it denies the existence of God, that, but it most definitely feels funny how with this tumble down and there is this notion that a God can be created, I will get to that later in the episode on construction, but the fact that a God has to be created, or the things which are close to God, but there isn't this higher power which controls the narrative, which is justified. There is nothing which grants justice. That makes more sense. There isn't this feeling that justice will be served for those who do good things will be rewarded. That is non-existent in Eva. And although we have seen the opportunities which can come out of human interaction and those sorts of things in the case of the action arc and even in the prologue arc at times, but on the whole, it does feel quite dark. And I guess this is the way to prove the absurdity of the world, that this is a non-caring world. the world almost has no moral compass. In the case of God and God's existence, there isn't a God guiding this, and those that do good things, that doesn't exist in either. And Anu manages to prove that in these episodes. If anything, and this is more of a summary point, these episodes manage to push the absurdity on the world onto us. And although you probably should have realized how ruthless the world is by now in Evangelion, this only rams the point home a lot more. If anything, this just world is teased, I would say, in two ways. This is done through both Kaoru as a character, existing as a character in his role in Evangelion, as well as sort of the music which goes on within the psychological attack scene during Asuka's moment, probably her most important moment in the series. There seems to be this false flag of justice, that there is something which will, there is a god, there is a thing or higher power that will guard us to, that will lead us to something good, and that justice, as I've said many times, will be served. We get that through this unholy music, but ironically, Asuka is being almost killed at this point. And then in the case of Kaoru, this is a bit more in relation to absurdism, which makes a bit more sense. How Kaoru, if anything, is a false flag for liberation. If we go back to the basic absurdist idea, the contradiction which is meaninglessness of the world, and the innate search for meaning which humans possess. The way to escape the absurd is to acknowledge it, and if we look back at what Camus has said, which I mentioned in the absurdism episode, he talks often about revolt, and when I sort of looked at revolt, I think of liberation. And in the case of Eva, we have multiple characters which try to become liberated by something. In the case of Shinji, this is now what seems to be Kaoru. Kaoru seems to be the liberating factor for Shinji. This is an attempt to satisfy his desire, which is being depended on. Weirdly enough, I think it is fair to call Shinji selfish, not in the typical critical sense, but at least selfish in regards to how he wants to help people for the benefit of himself rather than the benefit of them. He pilots the Eva to receive praise to make him feel better, as opposed to piloting the Eva because I want to benefit Tokyo 3. And so you can argue that in the case of Kaoru, it is to satisfy selfish desires, but also it's the fact that he's met with love as well. He's reciprocated with this same equal feeling that he is doing good for him, and Kaoru appreciates him and his existence almost. Shinji doesn't in this case have to do anything to be appreciated by what is quote unquote the fifth child, which is Kaoru. But evidently, as things break down, we return to this fact that the world does not care, and it is rigged against us, and so Kaoru being revealed to be the final angel only contributes to prove the fact that the world is unjust and cruel, which Anno tries to portray in these final episodes. It's a very dark time, I would say, for Eva, because overall throughout the series, I don't think the attempt is to make the world, although in what you can argue to be a crisis situation being post-Second Impact, it still does feel okay. It does feel livable. Yes, there are angels, but overall there is a bittersweet element to it, and there is a sweetness within that. But the bitter end really does pull on the bitter of the sweet. There is no, in the case of Evangelion, an innate meaning to the world. However, I would argue, personally, that there is an almost net negative feeling overall. Negative value is something which I'd say is hard to argue overall, but it's most definitely not a positive world. That's what I take from it. And so to put this all into context of my analysis, I would say that, if anything, this is the case for instrumentality, and the argument for escaping the absurd and becoming liberated by something. I would say that one of the main goals of Eva, and at least of this arc, is to make sense of the pain as opposed to just experience it. I feel like that's probably the main question of Eva. It's why is there this pain? However, in the previous arcs, the way this is handled is, I have to go through it, and hence I'm going to try and escape and just get rid of it, in the case of Shinji anyway, rather than confront it and look it in the eye. And so it's kind of come down to this inevitability, which is tackling this unfair or supposedly unfair life script that they live by. because that is, in the end, what humans strive for. They strive to attach meaning to anything. Even if there isn't innate meaning, the intention is always of humankind to add meaning to something. And so rather than escape the opportunity of providing meaning to the pain and the suffering that is the world, it's now come down to labeling it as is. Humankind, in the case of Evangelion, is often on the side of the effects. They're often experiencing the pain. However, the cause of the pain, which is, in the case of the final episode, is proven to be almost internal and fully in the control of humankind, although on the physical level that is debatable. There's never really been an urge to question the cause, which the bitter end manages to tackle. If we continue to have this conversation of what is liberation and how does one become liberated from the absurd and the complexities of life, I think a good place to almost answer this and an almost optimistic approach to this is a quote which comes from Yui Ikari, Shinji's mother. And she states that anywhere can be heaven if you try to live. Because he has life, as long as he lives, he will have the chance to attain happiness. And I really did like that part. That is probably one of my favorite quotes in the show now. I'll be honest, look at this not very long ago when I was doing my analysis rewatch. But I do like that addition to the conversation. It's just a bit more optimistic. And it does set up for what is the almost main premise of Eva by this arc, which is, how do you control your own reality when reality is rigged against you? When reality doesn't care for you, when there is arguably no God, what do you do to work against that? And the answer, in the case of Yui Kari, is to liberate yourself through the fact of you being human. You have the ability to, if I put it in the Kamui sense, you have the ability to revolt because you are human, because you have value. The key to it is noticing your value. Most of the characters in Neon Genesis Evangelion don't manage to realize their value. Or if anything, they have a false sense of their value. In the case of Shinji, doesn't feel as if he has value when it comes to piloting the Eva. Rei almost has a false sense of value because there are multiple Reis. And so she's simply almost a container. Asuka kind of has a superiority complex to an extent, but she doesn't really understand her value. If anything, she puts on a facade that she does have value, or she believes she has value, but that is to cover up for the fact that she has no clue as to what it is. And if we are even to take Misato, she's kind of almost, similarly to Asuka, she's trying to cover up the void with pleasure and short-term pleasures to make up for the fact that she can't search for this very value which she doesn't believe she has. So she almost distracts herself to an extent. And we see that with Kaji throughout the series. I think one of the main contradictions in this arc, and I don't mean that in the critical sense, but one of the main contradictions is how our characters all have means of liberation, or at least some sort of means of liberation. Misato and Asuka kind of share Kaji as a means of liberation. That is also kind of debatable when it comes to Misato, but if we just use that for an example. Rei, it seems to be Gendo. In the case of Shinji, it seems to be Kaoru. They're all stuck in this repetitive cycle, as well as the fundamental contradiction, which is the absurd. And hence they are unable to revolt because they're not able to recognize their value because they are stuck in this very contradiction. I think this becomes very apparent and became very apparent for me in what was probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite ever, shot in Evangelion. And that is the chilling shot in episode 23 when we see the multiple Rei Nami's suspended in LCL. I don't think funny is the way to describe it, but I'm gonna say funny anyway. One of the funniest things about that shot is how Rei kind of does have this moment where she's searching for herself. Who is Rei Ayanami? But when you realize that there are so many of those, it really does diminish that value search that she's going on. When I was doing a bit more reading, this kind of does relate to, if we are to get all philosophical about it, it does relate quite well to the myth of Sisyphus, which the main premise, I haven't read the book, so I'm not going to act like I'm this big expert of it, but the main premise of the myth of Sisyphus, or at least one of the main metaphors, is a man called Sisyphus, who's made to roll this boulder up and down for an eternity. As a metaphor or representation for the absurdity of life, these repetitive cycles that we can't get out of. And I think in the case of Ray, a character which I haven't covered very much on the podcast, which I'm kind of ashamed about because I do want to look at her a bit more closely, but at least in the case of Ray, it's the almost feeling that we get from the nerve side that they can construct this notion of value, that value and in the larger sense, instrumentality and value from instrumentality can be simply constructed by replicating someone and synthesizing a being. This kind of relates to something which I will discuss later. So just a final contribution to the discussion of liberation, and that being one of the biggest themes in the show and this arc, is I would say Kaoru's a lot more, and I did say I don't think that either, at least the original series, I wouldn't say it's a nihilist text. I know often when people do think of these themes, it is very close to nihilism, but there is quite a line between existentialism and nihilism. The two are connected, but to say that this is a nihilist text, I think is something which is a bit less nuanced in my personal opinion. But Kaoru does add what feels like a bit more of a nihilist look at liberation. And he does this by stating that the death of the self, removal of the 80 field, that is the only freedom. And that's the paraphrase. This is kind of what Camus said was one of the ways of escaping the absurd and obtaining freedom, which was suicide. But at the same time, I feel a character like Shinji, for example, wouldn't really gain anything from suicide. I don't know if I'm a person to be able to speak on that. But what does he truly gain from this? And when we contrast this using hindsight to the conclusion, which is Noob's ultimate control of his own reality, that doesn't give him the answer. Although I will be kind of contrasting the argument as to what was the answer, or was the conclusion of Eva the answer. But I don't feel as if Kaoru really gives a logical, or I don't think logical is the term, but at least doesn't really give something which will grant true liberation. It's not answering the question. If anything, it's ridding of the problem. It's anything of which Shinji was doing. If anything, it's what Shinji was doing in the first place, which is escaping the problem. I guess what this does show is that, similarly to what I was speaking about before, even what is proclaimed to be beings which are near to God, these very powerful beings, these angels, although not God themselves, but this does just prove to show that the world is rigged against us, and Eva's entire system is rigged against its characters. It's not meant to benefit them, it's not meant to balance itself out magically. This is simply a cruel, unfair, and meaningless world. And so now, for this part of the episode, I want to look differently at the conclusion to the show, the final moments of the episode, that is episode 26. Mostly because there is this main view, often, that the conclusion of Eva is overall quite positive. It's Shinji's ability to control his reality. We get it through the almost glass-shattering moment, when he realizes that he can value himself, and he recognizes the absurdity of life, and is able to break away from his fixed existence. This is all good and positive, and I agree with it. I do think it's positive, but I do want to, and it's something I've been thinking of a different way of interpreting this, because that is the beauty of Eva and the beauty of media as a whole. We're able to interpret things differently, and that can only add to the discussion. It doesn't really subtract from it. Having a single view, if anything, is probably the most harmful thing for postmodern media that is fully subjective. If that is your view of art and Neon Genesis Evangelion anyway. What my main point is when it comes to the end is it really the end? And no, I don't mean this in the explained video conspiracy theory sense of, did this show end? Oh, is there a second season coming? No, I don't mean it like that. But I mean, is it fair to call the conclusion, I say it in quotation marks, the conclusion of Evangelion a genuine conclusion? And I think that is where the darkness for me sort of started to grow. Is it an end, or is it only an escape? That is a theme which I think is covered a lot, escape versus, it's almost the escape versus dealing with it. That's a very bad way to name a theme, but that is very prominent and probably the main thing in the prologue arc, which is where the fundamental contradictions of Evangelion come in. It's save Tokyo 3 or it's fulfill your own pleasures, but know that Tokyo 3 is at very big risk because you're not doing it. Loads of strings attached. But hear me out here. I think the fact that, and I have no problem with how the show ended or the fact that it took place within instrumentality, but the very fact that it did take place within instrumentality, what you can argue to be escape, but also a force merging of humanity, a shoehorned method of making humans interact together, because that is, in the view of Eva, at least Gendo and arguably Sele and those behind instrumentality, it's the fundamental of life. Sociability and human connection and interaction is what fuels life, and that is why it prospers. And so breaking that down into this almost individualist world is something which is seen as very bad and negative. However, the point of Eva is being able to find value in the individual. So that is also another contradiction. But the fact that it takes place within instrumentality, which forces this, I don't mean it in its political context, but it's collectivist or collective sort of activity. It makes me think that did it truly address the problems of Evangelion in itself? True mastery within a system which is meant to, in theory, reach one's mastery, I don't think addresses the question. It doesn't, and I'm not saying, okay, instrumentality needs to end, they need to return to the world, because we don't know what happens to the, what you can define as objective reality which we once knew, but that is where I get a bit scared. Not in the sense that, oh, I don't like how this is written, but it makes me very curious and weary as to not just what happened to the rest of the world, because we can imply maybe that it's dead, but that isn't the emphasis. The emphasis is really, did Shinji manage to really address the problems which were plaguing him? Because that didn't involve tackling the problem with the material being, am I going to pilot Eva or not? Or am I going to learn to be independent and work collectively for the sake of others rather than myself? Also, just the fact that the main emphasis of instrumentality is, in the chameleon sense, is almost revolt. Although I disagree with the notion of instrumentality conceptually, but its intention is a revolt. A revolt from the very cruel world that is Evangelion and Tokyo 3. That is its main intention. Whether you agree with it or not is very different. So revolting in a world which attempts to do that and attempts to create mastery, because that's its intention, feels very off to me. How can you escape in a system which is meant to be an escape? This is getting very Inception. But how are you able to liberate yourself in a system which is meant to liberate already? Or how do you feel free when things are meant to be free? It's supposed to be free. Instrumentality is meant to be freeing or liberating, but you have only experienced it within it, which really confuses me. I know you can say that, and maybe this is the big pitfall in this argument, that because of the presentation and the final shots, which is the glass break, and that is a visual representation for shattering the absurd and beating instrumentality and its main principle, which is being a collective. But at the same time, just the way it ends it, I feel as if when I watched Eva for the first time, it ended what felt like too soon. But now I feel as if I understand that. That is, I think, where the darkness comes from for me. It doesn't really attempt to say, did Shinji win? It's more of, he's addressed something, but is addressing the question and addressing it the solution. And I don't think Anno tries to answer that at the end of Evangelion. That is something for you to figure out. And I think that is, this is me saying, no, I don't think that he did. Although I have formally, I don't want to say formally believed, but I have previously believed that he did answer the question, because the question was within him. Evangelion as a whole wasn't just this mecha anime. It wasn't with it, the main principle wasn't really the material aspect of Eva. It wasn't really Tokyo 3 and the mecha aspects, but it was the question of Shinji and who is Shinji Ikari and how can Shinji Ikari be solely Shinji Ikari without anyone else? And how can Shinji Ikari almost work in a world which is against him? That is found within him, within controlling his own reality. I think my argument is very similar to what was mentioned about Misato during the round of questioning of which they give her within instrumentality. It seems as if Misato is constantly after these temporary forms of escapism, and this is done through pleasuring herself with Kaji, etc. And so the question really is for Misato is that is she truly escaping with a temporary form of escape? Can a temporary form of escape count as a genuine form of it? And that is a question I think which is posed to Shinji as well. And at least the question which I'm kind of asking Shinji, did he truly escape because he is within a superficial form of escape being instrumentality? Honestly, what I thought of when looking and reviewing this sort of argument when I was in my bed having brainwaves a few nights ago about this, what I thought of was the, and I'm not going to go too into it too much, but it reminded me a lot of the conclusion to Perfect Blue. Well, Perfect Blue as a film, Satoshi Kon's Perfect Blue, is really weird because it eventually makes you question, is this genuine? Is the reality of which we're in real? What are we really in? What are we really seeing here? And we're almost in a dilemma when a fundamental contradiction, which is this real or is this fake? We can't tell. It's a Schrodinger question, basically. And I feel like that's the same for Evangelion, when we kind of put everything into context. Eui is almost nihilistic cousin or alternative to the main series. Does take a bit more of a hardline approach. Is this really winning? And I wouldn't call it winning, just to be a bit more, are you winning, son? Meme. No, you're not winning, son. With this, you can't really tell, and that's just the same with Evangelion. The question really lies as to, not really, is the person satisfied with their ending? Is Shinji satisfied with his ending? Yes, he is. But the thing I'm trying to emphasize on is more of what is reality in itself. Is this the reality which should have been addressed? Is this the reality? Is this a genuine reality, or can we never tell? And that is what I'm really trying to say. Is addressing the, and sorry for the questions, but is not addressing the objective, and I really don't like the term objective in this sense, but is not addressing the quote-unquote objective reality being all the episodes besides the final two. Is not addressing that really addressing the question of freedom? Because have we recognized the absurd within the world of which we are in? Why did we only recognize the absurd to the fullest within instrumentality, a system which is meant to liberate already? And so I think this managed to lead me to a place where I was thinking, is everything constructible? Shinji, by the end of Neon Genesis Evangelion, is able to almost construct his own reality on will. He's able to do that because he has recognized the absurdity of the world. I like to think that this is Shinji's revolt. However, when we think of it being within instrumentality still, or if you are to argue that it is still within instrumentality, we can argue that this is, again, a constructed reality. Instrumentality is a construct in itself. And so that leads me to question, is everything constructible? Constructibility is a theme tackled almost infinitely within Evangelion. The main premise is constructing something to defeat something else, being the Eva units constructed to defeat the angels. These pilots are constructed with their personalities are constructed for the Eva units, as well as they are constructed to be pilots. They are constructed into this essence, if you want to be all existential about it. They are constructed to be Eva pilots despite being children. I think something which reminds me of this is what I said earlier, being that very chilling shot of the multiple Reiai Inamis. Is humanity constructible? Can you create a human, not necessarily in the biological sense, but can you mold a human to what you want it to be? Being molding the essence of individuals. If you impose the notion of you are a pilot and it is your job to do this, something which you weren't aware of in the case of Shinji only a few episodes ago, being 25 prior to episode 26. Since episode 1, he didn't know what an Eva pilot was, or he wasn't an Eva pilot then. But are we able to condition and impose the essence and jobs and occupations onto people? I think this opens up so many psychological and philosophical questions which I can't answer because I'm not smart enough to do so. But these are kind of just, I think the funny thing about Evangelion and analyzing it is that at least by the end, it's less of this is what I know, but more of here are the questions which I really need to answer, because there are so many unanswered questions, not in the, oh, Arno didn't bother to write these, or I think that these are left out and should have been addressed, but that is what makes the show so special, that these questions are ones which aren't bothered to be answered, because it is the case with humanity, these are ones which we are still trying to answer in themselves, and so answering it isn't really something which I think is very productive for the show. It's something which we have to look inward for, and that is something which I'm trying to do myself in this final part of the podcast. In the case of Rei, we can potentially say that humanity can be constructed. It is flawed to a degree, but to some extent humanity can be made. We can also question what humanity is. Is humanity just a set of emotions? Is humanity the act of taking on an essence, being, or is humanity basically being adding one's existence to an essence? That is humanity in itself. But I think the interesting thing in the case of Rei is that the essence is there, the job, which is Eva Pilot, is there, but her sole existence is one which is very empty. It is container-like. I guess Gendo's what you can call parenting style does prove that to be a thing as well, that humanity is constructible. If you're able to prime them into believing that they have some sort of value and are just chasing it, you just need to continue chasing it because it benefits others, then yes, you can construct humanity to what you want it to be. I think the tragedy of Gendo, though, is that he has lost his wife and he hasn't been able to fully emulate the core of what humanity is, which is this emotional experience, if you want to argue it to be that. Yes, we had the soul of Yui Ikari within the Eva units, but that simply hasn't been enough for emulating humanity. So my last question, I think, when it comes to Eva and its conclusion, really, is less of the constructability question, although I know I did go on for ages about, is anything constructible? That should have just been one sentence, but it's less of the fact that I think Eva tries to say that anything is constructible. Society can be molded. Humanity is created, can be formed, even if we think of humanity as not just humanity in itself physically, but humanity conceptually is something which we can mold. One's reality can be molded, and Shinji manages to master and learn that he doesn't need to be fixed to a single reality. But that makes me question still, what is reality in the first place? So that is the analysis for this week. Well, I hope you can tell that I really enjoyed Neon Genesis Evangelion, because there are so many questions which I'm still asking. This is my first rewatch of Eva, and I would love to do it again. I would love to unpick and revise these analyses in the future. I've almost pledged to myself that I will always make Eva content no matter how long I'm doing this show, because it is what sort of inspired this in the first place. It inspired Getting the Mecha. It inspired my analysis and love for analyzing anime. And so that is something which will always be there, because there are so many questions to ask and answer. I think for this episode, because it's not a special episode, but it's definitely a very focused episode. I'm not going to do an in-the-moment segment for this week, but when the second curve of Getter the Mecha starts, which is next week, it's just going to be episode 51, but it's the second half of the season, so I just wanted to make it sound fancy. I will be trying to do more segments, and I will hopefully, maybe, even come up with a few more segment ideas. So I just want to end this episode on some closing thoughts for Evangelion and just some of the main themes which we come across in this arc, which kind of encapsulate the entirety of the show. Firstly, I think Evangelion manages to ask the question as to what is liberation and what is freedom. I have spoken about freedom many, many times on the podcast before, but I think it's very relevant for this anime, mostly because of how it does it really well, in the sense that it addresses the main contradictions which we face as people in our own lives, which is attaching meaning to things when it doesn't seem as if meaning is really there. I think I really loved how Yui manages to tackle that, and that's something which we can take from Eva, that there is the ability to revolt against the unfair world if you view the world as that, as the meaningless world. We're able to tackle it because we have the ability to do it, because there is value in humanity. That kind of leads me to the constructability argument, which is humanity is constructible. We can create it. But that also brings in a weird thing, because if humanity is constructible, Eva has shown that we can't create value. In the case of the sad case, which is Rei Ayandami, yes, she is created, but is she able to sense the value in herself? No, that is a question which still can't be answered by this notion and thought process that everything can be made. And as man and as human, as humanity, we're able to make humanity and value, but that simply is something which is beyond what we are able to do. And so we have limits. Eva as a whole shows that humanity is limited and struggles with many things, but it's recognizing the struggles and the contradictions in the struggles which is most of value. Thank you for listening to episode 50 of Guess in the Mecca. It's been really fun. It's been a really fun ride doing this half of the season. The show will go on. Next week will be episode 51. We'll be jabbing at that analysis as usual. Nothing really has changed, but I just wanted to make it sound a bit more fancy and call this the second cur of season 1 of Guess in the Mecca. But thank you very much for 50 episodes. Everyone who has listened, whether that was from the first episode all the way to now, if you managed to catch up to all the episodes, if you're just tuning in today, if you just tuned in last week, if you started last month, anything, I honestly don't mind. Thank you for listening if you are listening to this episode. Even if you are listening to this episode in the very distant future, I appreciate you for actually taking the time to listen to my thoughts on Eva and anime and manga and all of that. It does mean a lot, and it's a very fun thing for me as well to just have a conversation with you guys. I know it does seem kind of one-sided, but honestly, it does feel like I'm talking to you guys, because I also think about what you guys are going to say as well, or your potential response. Like, oh, but why would you argue this when you can argue this? And I try to almost have that conversation with you guys as well. Also, thank you to all the friends of the show. You guys know who you are. All the other podcasts that I do interact with, thank you very much. All the vibers on Twitter that I just interact with on a regular basis, you are very much appreciated. All the Sakubutas and all of that, I know I'm having a bit of a thank the Academy speeches. It's maybe not that deep to have 50 episodes, but this means a lot to me. Thank you to all the Saga community and everything else. It has been a great experience, and here is to 50 more episodes of Guess in the Mecca. But that has been episode 50. Hopefully you have a great week, day, month. Hopefully you're staying safe in a time like this. I know things are still crazy in the world, but I do wish you all the best. I will hopefully see you guys next week on the next episode. I don't know, as usual, what I'm going to be doing. I haven't checked what I'm going to do. And who knows, maybe I'll change what I do anyway. But I have been your host, Jamal, today. Thank you for 50 episodes. This has been Guess in the Mecca. The music in this production goes as follows. 8-bit title screen by Joth. Mandatory Overtime by Joth. Difference by Chasers Gaming. Anomaly by Eric Medeas under soundimage.org, and Unpleasant Discovery by Eric Medeas under soundimage.org.